to give you. Can I ask the members to move up closer, please? It's cold up here. If you move up closer, we can provide some heating, please. Let me welcome everybody present here today, and we will do the introduction now. But when you speak, I would request you to speak into the mic, as we are live on Parliamentary DSTV, so that the people outside can also hear you. So please speak into the mic. Also, don't sleep as the cameras are focusing on you when you speak. So we would request you to speak into the mic. We've got two apologies. One is from the Minister of Public Works, Minister Tulas Thembelani Ndrishi. He is in Palestine on official business, and Deputy Minister Jeremy Cronin, who is busy with an EPWP program. So that's the two apologies we have received. Secretary, have you received other apologies?
Thanks, Chairperson. Mr. Nyambi and Mr. Mguli will arrive late. They are coming.
Thank you. Mr. Nyambi and Mr. Mguli will arrive late, but they are on their way. And ladies and gentlemen, it's a cold day in Cape Town, but that's the Cape Town weather. And we would welcome you in this Cape Town weather. Don't worry, our hearts are warm, and as you can feel, the room is nicely warm. We are dealing today with energy efficiency, and we want to see how government departments can save on this energy efficiency. What role can we play, and what can we provide, and what is there that has been done to save energy? As we know, we had warnings from Eskom, and as we have seen what happened in India, over the last couple of days and weeks with the blackouts, we don't want a recurrence of that happening in South Africa, and that's why we've called some of the municipalities which organize local government in the form of SALGO is representing here today. We've called Public Works, we've called the Department of Energy, and because we want to see if government is setting an example in the government buildings. Because we are doing a request, as the President has also outlined, that we need to save energy. So we'll start with the introductions. My name is Freddie Adams. I'm Chairperson of the Select Committee on Economic Development. As I've explained to you, economic development in the National Council of Provinces, we are clustered, and we've got oversight of the departments of economic development, energy, and mineral resources. Let me start from my right, and we go down. Everyone can introduce themselves, because we don't want to read or hear tomorrow a reliable source has said that, or an informed source has said that. We want to put a name to the informed source, and also a face to the informed source or the reliable source. That's why we like to know who we are dealing with, and we like to know who we are talking with and talking to. You know, there's a thing in Cape Town, they say in Afrikaans, they say it kom binne, dan maak ons vrienden. The direct translation is come inside, we make friends. So so we are inside, so we make friends, and we discuss and talk about what is really worrying us and hampering us. Let me start on my right.
Good morning, I'm Abdullah Hanif, I'm the committee researcher.
Good morning,
Bev
Abrams from
Gauteng,
thank you.
Good morning, I'm Elza van Lingen from the Eastern Cape.
Good morning, I am Maspa Badekhale from Limpopo Province.
Good morning, Kenneth Sinclair from the Northern Cape.
San Bonan, Otum San Kamente, KwaZulu Natal.
Good morning. My name is Trubega Mkilene. I'm the parliamentary official from the committee section.
Good morning. My name is Chileshe from PMG.
Morning. My name is
Siyabonga, I'm from Sauga.
Good morning, my name is Anselo Mwepo from Public Works.
Good morning, Honorable Member. I'm Samsa Fibin and I'm from the Department of Public Works.
Good morning from me too. I'm Kutso from the Department of Economic Development and I do have to apologize on behalf of my colleague. He's also on his way.
Good morning. I'm from IDT, one of the trustees.
Good morning, honorable members. I am Thembiwe Damotsu, CEO of the Independent Development Trust. Thank you.
Chairperson, honorable members, my name is Mpoma Shaba. I'm the parliamentary liaison officer in the Office of the Minister, Public Works.
Good morning, I'm Vedant Jagat, program manager at the Independent Development Trust in Gauteng.
Good morning, my name is Tolisa Mabusela, Department of Energy.
Good morning, Chair. I'm Chris Nietling, Councillor for George and also NEC member Salga.
Good morning, I'm Linda Manucci from Salga and from the National Office in Pretoria.
Good morning, I'm Ulla Komangweni, Parliamentary Official.
Good morning, I'm not Pivotin Yuzun, the Committee Secretary.
Well, thank you very much for everybody that has introduced themselves, and now we know who we are talking to, who we are talking with, so that we don't have to sit down there and say, how should I address, and good morning, and while you take your seat, just switch on your mic and just tell us where you are before you decide to move from seat.
Good morning. Apologies for being slightly late. My name is Barry Brennkamp. I'm from the South African National Energy Development Institute, reporting to the Department of Energy.
Welcome, Mr. Brennkamp. You are free to join at this side so that you don't sit alone. It's quite cold in Cape Town. Being alone, it's very cold. So, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to please relax, specifically those that come from the north. We know it's not so cold out there, but here in Cape Town it's nice cold. It's the Cape Town weather, so relax. The fish are still swimming in the sea. Kaiser Chiefs has lost, and the sport was great. The cricket draw, Chris, Councillor Whitlam, and we've won gold medals, and we're still going to win some more. So yeah, things are looking good. Things are looking good, and if you play with us, and if you are in agreement with us today, and we just do our basic things and answer our questions efficiently, and get down to the point, and not going whether you should, if you go to PE, if you're supposed to go to PE with a question, don't go to Australia, but come down to PE directly. We'll still be able to catch a flight to see your kids going to bed. And kiss your husband goodnight still before he or she falls asleep, your partner falls asleep before you arrive. So we would like just to appeal that to you. But I think it is an important matter that we are dealing with, because as government we are asking people to save. But what are we doing? Are we doing what we are supposed to do? Or do we think that because we are the government we can just do as we please? Honorable Sinclair, you're switching off your visa as you tell your constituency to do when you are not at home. Are you putting a blanket around your visa? Do you save energy when you are not around? We have to tell the nation what we are doing. So let me give over if my members have anything from your side before we start. Nothing. Good. Let me start then with Mr. Mabusela, am I right? Mabusela, the Director of Energy Efficiency and Environment from the Department of Energy. The floor is yours, sir.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Tolisa Mabusela. I'm responsible for energy efficiency and environment within the Department of Energy.
So has everybody got the presentation? There's people that haven't got the presentation. Can we get them the presentation, please?
Some data streams
required, what are the energy efficiency indicators, the particular sector or subsector. And then we felt that also in 2005, based on the comments, there is a need to review that particular methodology so that we can actually consider the current development as well as international best practice. The gaps that were also identified, it was, as I indicated, the lack of the energy efficiency monitoring system, which I will actually refer in my presentation, is currently being developed. And also within the national building regulations and the codes, there was no reference in terms of the energy efficiency, especially looking at the current new build, so that when we move forward, we don't actually even go and retrofit the new buildings. So even those particular, the national building regulations, the component of energy efficiency was also raised, and then it has been incorporated in those regulations. There was also a non-availability of both the energy management plan or the energy management system standards, as well as the measuring and verification process. There was also insufficient energy efficiency awareness activities to change the behavior around how energy is being used. Focusing on 2011, the current review, which also took into consideration what we developed and then what we reviewed in 2008, the current developments up until 2008, the process started, which is, we call it a second review, started late 2011 under the Industrial Energy Efficiency Improvement Project, which is being implemented together with our counter department, state and industry, the business partners, as well as the international partners. This review and the implementation process also took into consideration, as I indicated earlier, the power interruptions, the load shedding experience in 2008 and the beginning of 2009, the financial crisis, as well as the climate change impacts and measures, and the current energy policy development, including the IRP 2010 that was developed and promulgated late in 2010. The process now, in terms of what we have reviewed after 2011, is almost complete. However, is pending to the cabinet approval in terms of taking to the public comment. But what came out of that process before this, we completed, as I indicated, the energy management system standard, the standard for energy management systems, SANS 50001, as well as the measuring and verification standards, SANS 50010. If I talk specifically to the energy efficiency in public buildings, one of the things that was raised, honorable members, was around the issue of monitoring as well as measuring and verification process. And then late in 2009, together in a partnership that was established between South Africa as well as the Switzerland government, we came up with an energy efficiency target monitoring system to ensure that we have an energy efficiency monitoring and implementation program, quantifying the standards in terms of the definition of energy efficiency. This particular program is also being implemented together with the South African Local Government Association, while in terms of the international partners, the Swiss Agency for Development and Cooperation. The purpose of this particular target monitoring, or overall the energy efficiency monitoring and implementation project, is to come up with one element which we call the target monitoring systems for measurement and reporting of the achieved sectoral targets as reflected earlier, specifically for the commercial and public buildings, a 10% reduction by 2015. However, while we're doing that process, there was an intervention that came through the Ministry of Public Works and our ministry, and while the Ministry of Public Works also announced or publicized what we call the Green Building Framework in 2011 so that it can actually include elements of energy efficiency in public buildings, or rather in buildings generally. As I indicated, the National Building Regulations were amended. Now they are talking about the improvement of energy efficiency, specifically looking at the new buildings as well as those that are being refurbished. As I indicated, Chairperson, the Ministry of Public Works and our ministry led by the Deputy Minister met earlier this year on the 24th of January to discuss how do we accelerate the improvement of energy efficiency in public buildings, as well as to close the gaps, because we established or we signed an MOU, Memorandum of Understanding, late in 2010, to ensure that whatever is being implemented as an intervention in the public buildings is measured and the energy savings targets are verified. And then we move forward in terms of coming up with what we call the lesson learned.
In this meeting, it was agreed that an interdepartmental task team must be established so that to look at how this implementation plan is going to be developed and accelerated towards implementation. Coincidentally, in that process, the Minister of Energy received a letter from the Department of Public Enterprise on the 5th of March, also to support this initiative and ensure that together with ESCOM and Public Enterprise, they will actually support through the integrated demand management of ESCOM. However, the issues that were raised in that particular letter was to ensure that we implement what we call standardized energy management plans and energy efficiency communication in public buildings as well as in the public sector generally. This task team was also to develop the action plan as well as amend the MOU that was signed between the two departments in 2010. The objectives of this particular program is to ensure that we implement energy efficiency measures in line with the South African green economy and economic sustainability, create synergies in terms of energy efficiency programs within the government buildings, also establish a database or a standard data collection and a baseline information. So you'll see in my last slide in terms of the presentation, I'll be talking about the energy audit that we're going to do, the use of smart metering as well as the GPS for the geopotential information system to ensure that wherever we implement an intervention into a particular building, at least we can actually locate where is that building, what type of intervention actually is there. And then we'll also establish what we call an energy management systems and plan, which will also talk about some energy audits and ensure that at least there is capacity within the energy management plans so that we can decrease the energy use and associated costs and also improve energy management skills for facility managers. Some of the interventions based on the task team that defined the task team set, I think, 3 times this year to identify what type of interventions and also how do we actually introduce the standardized energy management plan. But we came across in terms of another intervention in terms of ensuring that all our buildings, public buildings, have an energy performance certification process to ensure that we can actually rate the buildings and then the interventions that we are going to come across with are actually targeted. So the energy performance certification program is just a tool to rate the buildings according to their level of energy consumption. In terms of the interventions that we just identified, we identify 5 steps, and then this exercise will also include a pilot project for us where we're targeting around about 10,000, but specifically starting with 1,000 buildings to further establish a standard developmental process of data collection and how the energy performance systems can actually be implemented. As I indicated, Chair, the first intervention is around the development and introduction of the energy performance certification. As I indicated, that's a tool to rate the buildings and come across what type of intervention so that we can actually have a targeted approach. The process now is to ensure that we have a standard that we have to develop in line with the Green Building Framework as well as international best practice. But although the standard will at the end of the day be translated into the South African National Standard and then finally approved and consultation will be done to the South African Bureau of Standards. This intervention will ensure that whatever we do within the public building space, at least we are in par with other international partners in terms of the monitoring tools and the system. In terms of the progress, we have just completed a draft standard based on the international standards that we have actually looked across. So by the end of this month, or hopefully before the end of this second quarter for us, which is ending in September, we'll have started the consultation process to the draft process. The other critical component of this particular standard is to ensure that while you're introducing energy performance certification processes, you have some sort of workforce or resources to ensure that people come into a particular building and rate those buildings. So the South African National Accreditation System will be key in this particular process to accredit these bodies that will issue the energy performance certification. And then finance, we have invited finance to form part of the testing process. The intervention two is to come up with a pilot project. The first thing that we felt we need to do in order to issue certification is to understand what is the current consumption within a pilot program of around about 1,000 buildings for the next
just completed now the draft questionnaire, as well as in the process of selecting the buildings. But however, it's quite important that we have a particular system or a software that will actually make sure that it accommodates the data, the kind of data that we're looking for. We're in the process of controlling a GIS software to ensure that we have all the layers that we're looking for, including the reporting process. Together with the South African National Energy Development Institute, we're looking in terms of how to then come up with a local manufacturing process. So that program, through the South African German Energy Program, has just appointed the GIS data manager to assist us in this data support development. Intervention 3, although we will be collecting data, developing energy performance indications, the view was that we'll actually propose they're not voluntary. We come up with a policy directive and a policy framework so that in all public buildings, energy performance certification are displayed, so that when you come into this building or in any public buildings or a building occupied by government, at least you can actually look in terms of its rating, how far it's actually rating. So we have to complete that through a policy directive when necessary. Apart from the EPC, we'll then deliberate in terms of the workshops, because although we're going to introduce as an element of the energy performance certifications, all the elements, but of critical importance again is the phase out of incandescent lamps, so that we make it a point that the National Regulator for Compulsory Specification assists us in terms of enforcing and coming up with a standard of phasing out all these inefficient light bulbs or lamps. Intervention 4, Chair, is around the installation of smart meters, because we felt that going physically to the buildings, it will actually be cumbersome, but we're targeting, initially we targeted around about 200 buildings at the start out of the 1,000 buildings, but in our discussion now, I think we're going to scale down so that we come up with a very, very strong output based in terms of the financial resources that we got from the Royal Danish Embassy through a partnership or a collaboration between the government of Denmark as well as the Republic of South Africa. So basically, we'll actually be looking at smart metering in terms of quantifying what activity of a particular building through its building envelope, either if it's a lift or the air conditioners, what type of a system that is actually consuming the most energy efficiency, most energy within those particular buildings. So the process in terms of this one is quite advanced. We've just discussed yesterday the draft plan, so that we ensure that the smart meters are completed before we start collecting data or in the process of collecting data. The target period for this one is almost between 1 year to 1.5 years, so that we have enough data, which will be the real-time data in terms of smart meters. And then it should also be noted that within the smart meters, we don't necessarily have a standard developed already. So SANET, together with the Energy Efficiency Hub, also be looking in terms of a model how to localize this particular process. So the leader in terms of this particular process of the smart metering is Sanity. They are leading this particular work stream. The last intervention, which is intervention 5, was to talk about energy efficiency awareness. In 2008, the government communications and information system was mandated by cabinet to manage this communication and energy efficiency program for 3 years and up until the end of the 2010-2011 financial year. So they've given us the handover report, which recommended an update of what they were implementing, the National Energy Efficiency Campaign Strategy. And then we've considered that, notwithstanding the fact that other government departments are already implementing some of these interventions, but we went through the South Africa, the National Economic Development and Labour Council, to ensure that this is actually a multi-stakeholder consultation process. And then the final strategy was then launched at COP17 in December 2011. And then moving forward, just in terms of the detail of the campaign, it is just to contribute in terms of to sustain the transition between the current energy consumption practices towards a more efficient one, and also ensure that most government departments that they have actually implemented, they are sustaining this particular process, but intensifying, among other things, the fact that we need qualified or at least people who have a knowledge of energy management systems or plans within the public building sector. We have a sort of electronic display of some of the energy efficient saving tips. We also distribute some of these and one of the interventions is to make sure that we have some knowledge sharing platforms, either in the form of seminars or workshops in existing structures, already in government. There is a government communications forum, there is also a teachers forum and other forums, to make it a point that we understand when we talk about energy efficiency, what do we talk about, and also take home whatever you have actually learned at work, so that we don't actually have the same situation that we have in 2008. The public sector energy efficiency awareness, we also talk about energy efficiency champions, or what we call marshals or champions within government buildings. The plan for us, Chair, is to capacitate the facility managers or those that are involved in terms of the management of the buildings, so that they prove a case that energy efficiency, yes, is one of those key aspects in terms of production of energy, and making the point that we have reliable data and a system that is actually fitting to our energy efficiency target monitoring system. The last component in terms of our interventions, we through the energy efficiency target monitoring system, as well as the supported by the Swiss Agency for Development and Cooperation and SALCA, as well as the International Energy Agency. We are also looking at policy profiling of some of the policies, of the energy efficiency in buildings. The project will then estimate in terms of what are the technology possibilities, energy saving potentials, that in terms based on the current measures that we are implementing and future measures. So we're hoping these particular interventions or partnership between three stakeholders is going to be completed by the end of May 2013, which will actually assist us in terms of gathering this data, analyzing that data, coming up with the required findings, and reviewing some of the policies. You'll think of the building regulations, you'll think of the energy efficiency retrofit program guidelines, you'll think of all those that will actually then affect the improvement of energy efficiency in public buildings. So this policy analysis is also taking stock what we just completed together with the South African German Energy Program, a program that we call it mapping, a policy mapping and activity mapping of energy efficiency across all sectors. But this one specifically will be looking at buildings and then specifically in public buildings. The last two slides is just talking about the institutional arrangements. The task team that I mentioned before, honorable members, was that is composed of those Department of Public Enterprise, Public Works, SALCA, ESCOM, CIDP, IDG, Council for Built Environment, SANAS, and then our international partners now is the German government, the Swiss, as well as the Danish government. So we also established what we call technical working streams out of the five working streams that I talk about, and then we'll then implement what we call the energy efficiency campaign in public. And then I indicated some of the elements of this particular slide, capacity building and skills development, because the most task for us, if you look at public buildings, which are quite many, even if you look at our targeted building of 1,000, we'll need a workforce that will ensure that they visit almost all the buildings, although we're going to categorize them. But we should actually make it a point that capacity building and training program on energy audits, energy management, facility managers, are in line with what we call a standardized energy management system plan, so that we get reliable data and introduction of the energy performance certification. The energy performance certification will create a lot of opportunities around skills development and jobs, because there will be a lot that must be done if a building is rated a particular rate, maybe from A up to G or H. It will actually be reflecting that it will move from this particular level to another particular level. So one of the things that we have to ensure here is to ensure that we capacitate the built environment professionals on energy auditing, monitoring, and energy management systems. In conclusion, Chairperson, is just to make the committee note the progress that we have made in terms of these interventions. However, while we're implementing these interventions, there will be quite a lot of limited financial and human resources that we'll encounter. It might not deliver the energy savings that we're looking for as projected, 10% commercial and public building in our national energy efficiency strategy, and also for the committee to note the partnership with international organizations as well as the local organizations and departments where we're working at. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mabusela. Honorable members,
should we take presentation by the Department of Public Works, or should we go for questions? Up to you. Public Works. Okay. Public Works. Am I pronouncing this correct? Public Works and IDT, are you together doing one presentation or different? Okay, let's take Public Works. Sorry, ma'am. Let's take Public Works. Technology. I think that the IDT, Independent Development Trust, can prepare themselves also to do the presentation after Public Works. Let me also inquire, Sanelli, have you also got a presentation, sir?
No, Jay. We are here in support of the Department of Energy.
All right. Okay. Who else has got presentations? It's only IDT and SAUGA. Says no, this is the Departmental Computer of Energy, and your one's the Departmental Computer of Public Works. So.
Good morning,
apprise the committee on the progress relevant to energy efficiency improvements effected in government buildings under the custodianship of the National Department of Public Works. We've effected the following thus far: the shared savings model, retrofitting projects, and behavioral changes. I'm going to go straight into some background. The department is formed the Energy Efficiency Task Team around February 2008, and like indicated by my colleague from DOE, the purpose was to ensure a coordinated energy program in state-owned buildings. We formulated the Energy Code of Conduct for all buildings under the custodianship of National Department of Public Works for implementation by national government departments using state-owned and leased buildings and for occupants to contribute to conservation of energy. In 1997, with the background, we implemented the shared energy saving contract in four regions: Pretoria, Cape Town, Johannesburg, and Bloemfontein, with the ratios ranging from 40-60 to 50-50. The energy audit and retrofit for Pretoria started in 2003 to 2010, and we retrofitted approximately 104 sites, and we derived savings over 1.147608 kilowatts. And over this period, we generated a saving of over 312 million rand. The Johannesburg Regional Office started energy audits from 2000 to 2010 on 24 sites comprising of 600 buildings, with subsequent energy savings being realized just over 46 million, and in terms of the kilowatt savings, over 109 kilowatt savings. The Bloemfontein Regional Office initiated energy audits from 2003-2010 on 15 sites comprising of 375 buildings, and they realized savings of over 26 million and kilowatt savings of over 55,973 kilowatt hours. The Cape Town Regional Office started energy audits in 1997-2009 on 39 sites, with subsequent total energy savings of over 45 million and 269,502,386 kilowatts of savings. Their contract is expired in Feb 2009. In terms of the retrofitting, we've received an allocation from National Treasury. In 2008-2009, we implemented retrofitting measures for approximately 20 million in the Pretoria Regional Office, and we covered 22 sites comprising of 1,981 buildings. This project was completed in March 2009 on budget, and we realized an annual saving of 4.9 million. The project with lighter retrofitting and luminaries, and this was implemented across the 1,981 buildings in Pretoria. We realized a saving of 3.1776 kilowatts and 13.8 gigawatts per hour of electricity. Subsequently, an allocation in 2009-2010 of 35 million was allocated by National Treasury, and we retrofitted 17 sites comprising of 1,206 buildings, and in the portfolio it included Union Buildings, which is one of our large prestige buildings, and here we realized a total kilowatt saving of 3,473. The project within this ambit also constituted light retrofitting of 48,856 luminaries at a cost of 33 million. It also included the replacement of electricity in Sonder Water Prison with excess steam, and further the optimization of the HVAC system at the Union Buildings as well. In 2011, we've appointed shared energy contractors, and they were appointed in the following regions: Cape Town, Durban, Polokwane, and Mobatu. And the implementation of this particular project has just started. In terms of behavioral changes, Chair, we've implemented the following. The Interdepartmental Task Team on Energy in August 2010, they decided that behavioral change and saving of energy in public buildings had to be intensified. And with DOE, GCIS, etc., they intensified the energy efficiency campaign in January 2011 to March 2011. The campaign targeted to save 10% on energy consumption in all public buildings. All DPW regional offices and user departments, we have over 42 user or client departments, which include SAP, Defence, Justice, etc., were educated right across all the regions, and a series of workshops were held in this regard. The allocation over the NTEC for 2011 and 2012, we have 75 million and 50 million respectively. The allocation was spent on light retrofitting on highest energy consuming government buildings in Mthatha, Port Elizabeth, Kimberley, Nelspruit, in collaboration with IDT. My entity IDT will provide a detailed presentation in this regard. Some of the specifications, and it's not limited to this, that were adjusted to energy saving measures that we now implement through our procurement instructions, is to look at the building fabric in terms of the building design and orientation, installation of suitable glazing for solar interactions with building facades, installation of appropriate shading devices, installation of appropriate insulations in strategic locations, hot water pipes to save energy, and harvesting sun and wind by solar geysers, natural cross ventilation for rooms, etc. We encourage architects that conform to the green energy environment and when we challenge them in this regard as well. The progress, like I indicated, all our procurement instructions for new construct, rehabilitation and upgrades, effectively mainly from last year, include a clause to ensure compliance to energy efficiency measures in government buildings. We have AgriVol, which received a 4-star rating from the Green Energy Council, and this particular refurbishment upgrade is on the go at the moment. And then Albert Luthuli Museum, that was showcased at COP17, that was retrofitted with program management competences from IDT, we'll also discuss this particular project and some of the successes in and around that shortly. The challenges we experience, Chair, is within our ambit of public works, is dedicated professional services units with qualified electrical engineers aligned to the size of the portfolio. We seek assistance from DOE and SANADI in this regard, and to assist also with the intensifying our monitoring, evaluation, and verification process. And we are in the process of institutionalizing this particular relationship with an MOU. And we also further have to intensify our engagement with Eskom through the demand management, and we need to derive more benefits for safe buildings of this particular program. But my colleague from DOE indicated that all the role players and stakeholders form part of a particular team that is looking at this intrinsically. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Membership, just take the presentation of IDT. With that, just to close the speech to you. IDT. We have just been joined by some more people, so we would like you to introduce yourself, please, those that have joined us.
Good morning,
welcome. Special word of welcome to Honorable Colin Marina. It's nice to see you again. Welcome to this committee. It's really an honor and a privilege for us to have you in our committee. Thank you for your presence. Ma'am, you may continue.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. As introduced earlier, my name is Tembisa Damutu and I'm the CEO of the NDT. I will be doing this presentation with the support of my colleague, Vidanta, who is the technical person that was on the ground as we were driving this process. The purpose is really to present to the Select Committee the energy efficiency interventions in government departments, which we were implementing on behalf of the Department of Public Works. But we thought we should also take advantage just to highlight honorable members who we are as an organization. So this is the first time that we're appearing before yourselves. The IDT is an implementing agent of government. It's a Schedule 2 entity. It was established in 1990 and was given 2 billion rand endowment at that stage. The expectation was that that funding should be finished in 3 years' time, and mainly it was focusing on the formal assistance. In 1997, together with other parastatals of the then government, the IDT was also, IDT's mandate was also refined, and the IDT was then scheduled at that time as a Schedule 2, and it was given a responsibility to be an implementing agent of government. It is clearly stated that the IDT responds to government's requirements when they implement programs and assist in the fact-checking of those programs. We report through the Department of Public Works. As stated earlier, we're a Schedule 2 entity. The IDT has not been online for the past 22 years. We've been using that 2 billion rand of 1990 and taking care of overheads through the interest end. But as we sit now, we've almost depleted that 2 billion rand, but we're very proud to say that we were in a position to implement a worth of 10 billion rand programs during that time from the interest that we had earned. The IDT was then appointed by the Department of Public Works to support the department in terms of implementing this program. Just briefly, in terms of the programs that were implemented to date, and we're putting up a slide there that just shows the past 3 years how our program turnover has increased. We also do the construction of schools, mainly social infrastructure type of programs. I must say in the past 3 years, our programs have increased drastically. As you can see, the last financial year, we delivered about 4.1 billion rand of social infrastructure. We're also proud to say that in the past week, we've just received our 10th unqualified audit report as an institution. My colleague will take us through, Chairperson, on the actual implementations of the program that we were doing on behalf of the department.
Honorable Chair, in terms of the program background, I'm going to start off with an extract from the foreword of the RSA Energy Efficiency Strategy from March 2005. It said, in South Africa, government is taking the lead by using public buildings as an example. Cabinet has approved the implementation of a program of energy efficient measures in national government buildings, which is currently underway and which will be extended to provincial and local government. The above extract echoes the need addressed by the current energy efficiency initiatives. The impact made by such programs result in the reduction of energy consumption and a reduction in the carbon footprint of facilities. Direct cost savings from such initiatives will reduce government spending. In terms of the project's background that we worked with the Department of Public Works, the Department of Public Works appointed the IDT to implement an energy efficiency program. The program was aimed at reducing electricity consumption in selected National Department of Public Works facilities throughout the country. The National Department identified 120 facilities, 60 in the Eastern Cape, 30 in Mpumalanga, and 30 in the Northern Cape for this particular implementation. Another appointment that was given to us was the appointment to carry out a green building program on state-owned buildings in KwaZulu-Natal province. We managed to complete one at the Luthuli Museum, which was showcased at the COP17. The scope of the works basically at the 120 sites was primarily focused on lighting and remote metering at various state-owned facilities. The scope of the work at the Thule Museum included various interventions ranging from water conservation, electrical and mechanical energy savings, and other cleaning initiatives. In terms of the impact under the EEP in the Eastern Cape and Mpumalanga and Northern Cape, the summary of the audited and completed projects were such, where we had the three regions and 12 out of the 120 we did not audit or assess due to the buildings either being too old, dilapidated, or currently having other public works programs running on those particular facilities. So we were left with 108. Out of the 108, 103 projects were completed. The total expenditure over the two financial years, that's financial year 2010-11 and 2011-2012, combined gave us a value of 127 million. The annual energy savings per province, calculated annually, is given in the table. We were able to achieve annual energy savings overall of 5.945880 kilowatt hours, that equated to approximately per annum 3.3 million rand. That is obviously under certain assumptions which are noted under the table. Personnel employed by the service providers province, we were able to show varying skill levels from electrical engineers down to interns. In the Eastern Cape, we were able to employ 124 personnel, and in Mpumalanga 271, in the Northern Cape 263, giving a total of 658 in those provinces. With implementation, we do get challenges. Some of the challenges experienced during the energy efficiency program in the three provinces was there was a lack of as-built plans, the availability thereof. How we overcame this was contractors documented these changes as an annex year to the certificates of compliance, as the electrical certificates of compliance. In terms of access to facilities, the Department of Public Works assisted us by issuing security clearance letters to allow the contractors and consultants to access these areas. With the spectrum of facilities that were chosen, we had various user clients, for example, the SANDF, Department of Correctional Services, South African Police Service, etc. And we had to restrict access to these areas. What needed to take place then was the contractors had to reallocate resources and expedite the implementation processes on other sites. In terms of public works planned projects, the recommendation was that we do not consider these sites and we move on to other sites. In terms of procuring of materials within short timelines, contractors were advised to source materials from reliable companies. In terms of the last challenge, public works long-term maintenance contracts. Meetings were held between the regional representatives, the maintenance contractors, and our energy efficiency contractors. And the agreement was made that for the portion of the light fitting, a certificate of compliance would be issued thereof. Impact at the Lutuli Museum. The impact areas identified and installations that were completed accordingly were the rewiring of the electricity distribution system, the HVAC enhancements, light enhancements, solar PV, that is photovoltaic, and switching controls, as well as water efficiency devices and water heating elements, passive energy controls, and automated remote metering systems. The most important element, other than the savings and reduced carbon footprint created the museum, was the excellent exposure to both young and old visiting the facility of the benefits of the energy efficiency interventions. The impact areas that were completed led to the following savings accordingly. The existing HVAC equipment was replaced with a 40% more energy efficient system. Existing fluorescent light bulbs were replaced with LED bulbs, which are powered via the solar technology installed. The installation of computerized irrigation and water harvesting systems led to a reduction in approximately 30% in water savings. Automated remote metering systems for the electricity and water usage were installed to monitor readings every 30 minutes. This included leak detection. The total value of the project was 6 million rand for the financial year 2011-2012. Those are some of the pictures of the facility and some of the installations that were done. I'm going to hand over back to the CEO.
Honorable members, first it's really to appreciate your giving us the opportunity to present this program, but also to further inform you that we are currently negotiating or discussing with the Department of Energy to complete the processes that were started, in particular in Mpumalanga. And we are very excited that if we can be able to execute that in this financial year, definitely we're going to see huge savings from an efficiency point of view. But also to indicate that in some of the buildings where we had undertaken, there is still a huge gap, and we are hoping that with the interest the committee is demonstrating, we should be able to intervene in almost all those departments. Our mother department, the Department of Public Works, as indicated earlier, is pursuing a number of programs, and probably we might still be participating in that. With that, thank you very much, honorable members.
Thank you, CEO, for the briefing. Members, we are left with one presentation. You have been making notes. Would you like us to go to questions? Can we continue?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you have to make notes and, on this. Salga, are you ready? It seems to me that you have put a safe time to save on energy, but also time to go and see your loved ones tonight.
Chair, thank you very much. And I'll hand over to Linda, and she'll do our presentation on behalf of Saga. Thank you very much.
It's good, Councillor Nielsen, as you know, this is Women's Month. And as you know, I'm a strong believer, if you want anything done in a professional manner, give it to a woman. She'll do it. Am I right?
A woman or your wife?
Oh, both. Your wife is also a woman. Your wife is also a woman. So whether you give it to your wife, you give it to a woman, you know it will be done in a... Sorry? No, it is possible, but if you want efficiency, and we're not talking about marriage, we're talking about doing things. We're talking about doing things. Well, that's another subject for debate on another stage, but I think that the woman has now taken us through most of our presentations, and it went well, very well. Even Mabusela has taken the lead of the woman in being efficient with that. Over to you, ma'am. Woman can multitask, so we know you'll find it. You'll find it.
Thank you for the opportunity to present here. I think it's from the municipality side, I mean, there are so many of us who present a wide variety in cross-sector. I mean, there's big ones, there's small ones, there's rural ones. We're a very wide spread of municipalities. So I'll try to give a presentation of what the municipalities are doing in terms of energy efficiency. And thanks for the other colleagues. And I think we get very good support from the Department of Energy in particular on some of the grants that they give to municipalities in terms of energy efficiency. So I'll talk a bit on those. And yeah, so I'll just touch briefly about what municipalities are doing. And I think from our side, of course, Salga is biased, but I think the municipalities have a very key role to play in implementing energy efficiency in their own operations, but also in within their residents and the communities. So just given a brief my introductory comment about the role of municipalities with respect to energy efficiency. And then progress with respect to municipal energy efficiency program. And then impact on municipal revenue. This is something which municipalities complain about, which we often hear our members complaining about, that we subsidize other services to residents through revenue from electricity sales, and how do we deal with this issue in the municipalities. And then support to municipalities with respect to energy efficiency, some of the programs that are there that they're participating in. And then I've just highlighted also, as my colleague from DOE has, the SALGA and Swiss Agency for Development and Cooperation Program on Energy Efficiency Monitoring and Implementation, and what SALGA's role is there. Just a bit of highlights about from the National Energy Efficiency Strategy and where we think the municipalities can play a role. The residential sector from that national strategy makes up 17.9% of the demand of electricity or of energy. And that's where we think the municipalities can play quite a big role in reducing that demand. Transportation sector is also a key sector where municipalities can play a role. Their own fleet, also influencing the municipal planning. For example, in Cape Town you have what I think is quite energy efficient is the bus lane on the N2, which promotes the public transport. That's the kind of thing which a municipality can do with a national department. So that's just some of the interventions we can make. And then also, as I said, municipalities are key with respect to implementation of the energy efficiency programs, and they are already implementing programs, as was also said by our colleagues from IDT with their public buildings. And then with our own operations and our customers, we can do some interventions there. And then some municipalities already have institutional arrangements to implement energy efficiency programs. So the Cape Town is actually one of the leaders there in setting up, I think that's one of the key things, setting up some institutional arrangement that can promote energy efficiency initiatives. Just some benefits that we see that municipalities can achieve from implementing energy efficiency programs. I see energy efficiency from the big picture, not only the building. So here it's for that it's actually the big picture issues and objectives that can be achieved. So savings for the municipality themselves on their own electricity bill, because when municipalities pay fair bill to ESCOM, so if we can reduce the savings, reduce electricity that we consume ourselves, plus our residents consume, we actually save the money that we can do pay. At the moment, we only pay ESCOM, and some means they have their own power purchase agreements, but very few of them. Savings for residents, savings for money spent on infrastructure. If we're more efficient, we can use that money elsewhere. And then, of course, the environmental protection issues that DOE has highlighted, energy security and equity also. If there is certain groups are using less, we can have more to spread across residents who actually want to use more energy. And then also economic development. I think there are certain energy efficiency. It can promote certain sectors which are not already been, which haven't been receiving attention and haven't been developed. And then a bit of just progress with what municipalities are doing. Some of them which I work with at SALGA, and also which are doing things independently. SALGA has a unit looking at sustainable energy and energy efficiency. And so there's a unit looking at it, and they coordinate energy efficiency and renewable energy work. And that is quite effective. Where they struggle now mainly is with funding for their program. Etiquini also has made a lot of progress. They actually have an energy officer which sits in the municipal manager's office. And that office actually coordinates energy efficiency activities in the municipality. Ekurhuleni has an energy office also, but focuses mainly on their own municipal operations. So they work with ESCOM to reduce their own demand from, for example, their wastewater treatment and their buildings. And they also have a solar water heater program. As I mentioned, they are Cape Town. They have a very good institutional arrangement within the council. They also have a committee which I think functions quite effectively in promoting energy efficiency and renewable energy. And they're setting up, a good team of people who are promoting this. And I mean, they've been coming on a long time. For I think probably the last 5 years, 6 years, they've been setting up this unit. And now it's been integrated into the IDP, and they get budget for it. So that's how they've done it, and it's been a long road, but they're now actually all budgeting within their own council budget for their programs. And then I just thought about the types of interventions that Newsbanks are doing, the kind of things that are happening. The urban planning and building control, City of Johannesburg has made quite some progress there. They've got a program on promoting energy efficiency in new developments. So when these new developments, developers apply for to do some development, the city will say to them, you have to meet certain energy efficiency criteria. We want you to use so much, so much demand in your development, for example. So there are certain criteria which they have, and then only if you meet that criteria are you allowed to develop in that place. Or they have said they've zoned a particular area for energy efficiency where there's a high demand. They've said only in this area, this is the criteria that you have to meet if you want to develop in this area. And then also they can set conditions for development to take place. As I said, if a developer wants to develop in a certain area, they'll say these are the conditions in terms of energy efficiency you have to meet. Another way which municipalities can actually promote energy efficiency is through densification, through buildings closer together, through going up a little bit, maybe not as much as in other countries, but at least we've seen in the East. The municipalities are promoting that developers go up a little bit. Through building design as well, they had to pattern building design, which means, for example, if they building space north, they get more sun in winter and they become warmer. Also, just to highlight there, it's the National Building Regulations. The SAN 204 is actually a standard, but now it's become a regulation which municipalities actually have to enforce these energy efficiency building regulations. So I think for the municipalities, there's a lack of knowledge in the building inspectorate, because now the inspectorate has to, for example, make sure that a certain percentage of the hot water from new buildings is from renewable energy and not from electrical heating. So that's something which is new and lost. In November, those regulations are promulgated. And that, I think, can take energy efficiency quite forward in the way in planning and building control. And then also the solar water heating is also an important part of, I think, how municipalities can promote energy efficiency. ESCOM has quite a big solar water heater program, but that program is mainly focused on the middle to high-income households. And the municipalities are actually themselves developing. Some of them are wanting to get into promoting solar water heating in lower income households. There is a program which Department of Energy funds for houses which don't have any electrical water heating, but that is a separate program. But some municipalities, particularly City of Cape Town again, is actually developing a model where residents can pay back the amount of solar water through the municipal billing system, and they're doing that off their own balance sheet. So private sector partner will come and implement that, but the residents will pay the solar heater off through the billing system. I think they presented here sometime this year on that program, where there was some information. And then street lighting also is an area where municipalities can make a difference and make an impact, and they've been receiving some funding from the Department of Energy through the Energy Efficiency Demand Side Management Program. So I think the capacity in the municipalities in street lighting has been building up over the past 3 years. And hopefully they won't just use the funding they get from the Department of Energy. Hopefully they will actually realize themselves through their own budget to actually implement energy efficiency street lighting. And then also energy efficiency in buildings. This can incorporate lighting, HVAC, and energy management. And some of them have also, HVAC is heating, ventilation, and cooling. And some of them have also been using the grant money from the Department of Energy to implement energy efficiency in their buildings. And then wastewater treatment uses quite a lot of electricity, and the municipalities are feeling it in terms of their own money that they pay to ESCOM for their wastewater treatment facilities. So, for example, City of Johannesburg, one of their plants, actually they are building a plant through their own capital money on using their waste from their treatment facility to actually produce their own electricity. So that's the way, cutting out a lot of the money they'll pay to Eskom. So it's the kind of things which municipalities are doing. Some more interventions in the transportation sector include public transport, and we see that municipalities are now, you are really making inroads into improving the public transport. The city of Johannesburg, Rustenburg, Swane, they're doing BRT, there's Nelson Mandela Bay, they're doing the city of Cape Town, so it's good to see that there's a lot of work in that area. In the municipal fleet as well, I think municipalities can actually promote energy efficiency in their fleet through management of their fleet, specifically through training people, capacity building of the people who drive the vehicles. Another example is high occupancy vehicle lanes, which is implemented in the city of Cape Town and probably even a few other cities as well. And then non-motorized transport. So this includes not only providing space for bicycles, but also for pedestrians. I think it's not only when you think non-motorized transport, you think of bicycles, but I think in a lot of our municipalities, a lot of people walk, and I think that the safety issue also comes into consideration here. And then also park and ride. Also in some municipalities where they are train stations and BRT stations, they've been building parking facilities so people can park their cars and get onto the bus or onto trains. And then just a note on the impact on municipal revenue. There have been some studies that have looked at this, but this is something which is really they think this is going to be a problem for them in the long term. In the short to medium term, there probably won't be much impact, but in the long term, significant impact on municipal revenue. And this will impact on the city's, on the council's own budget and ability to implement other services for residents. And we would like to recommend to municipalities to factor this in when they do the IDP, when they do their planning for their budget. But also, we think National Treasury could have some sort of funding framework to cater for this. Example, incentives for energy efficiency municipalities. And this is something which SALVI is looking at and working with National Treasury, Department of Energy, to see what can we do about this in the long term, because the revenue departments in the municipalities are actually quite concerned about this. And then just to highlight about a few points about the support to municipalities, what support we've been getting for energy efficiency. Our municipalities have been using our own funds to our own budgeting for energy efficiency. And then also, as I said, the conditional grant from National Treasury, which I think has come along when the municipalities are quite grateful for that, and they are holding their own capacity because of that grant. And then Eskom, the Integrated Demand Management Program, Eskom also works with municipalities and they like, so they've got some funding available. And they have been working, and they are good examples of working with municipalities on their own operations particularly. And then, of course, the municipalities could take loans from, for example, CBSA to do the work. And also, donor funds are available, and I'll speak about in the next slide about what kind of funds we've been getting. And then, of course, private-public partnerships are a way that municipalities can fund the energy efficiency. Just some, I don't know if members are aware, but this is some funds that municipalities have been getting over the past years for energy efficiency. The Dunedin Fund was the Urban Environmental Management Program, and that was funded, that was mainly focused on the metros. And it was earlier a nice fund because municipalities could decide what they want to do. So there was environmental health projects. There were some solar water heater projects, there were energy efficiency in buildings, so there were really nice energy efficiency projects from there. That came in 2010, but I think also the municipalities that assisted the municipalities to set up the institutional arrangements, to set up plans for energy efficiency and renewable energy. And then the British High Commission which has been providing support to municipalities over the past probably 5 or 6 years as well. So that funding also has been very instrumental in setting up and in building capacity within the municipalities. And then REAP, the Renewable Energy and Energy Efficiency Partnership, also has been supporting Sustainable Energy Africa to assist the municipalities. So for example, through REAP, Sustainable Energy Africa supports the Department of Energy to work with the municipalities on the energy efficiency and demand side management grant. So they actually have been supporting the Department of Energy in working with the municipalities. And then the Swiss Agency for Development and Cooperation through SALGA. I'll mention a bit later about the project that I am managing for SALGA. And then the GIZ, as the DOE mentioned, the GIZ energy program also, we're also getting a bit of collaboration with them for our program. And then just to mention this program which we are running, it's the one leg is in the Department of Energy, the other leg is in SALGA. And SALGA facilitates the implementation of the local government program. We are focused on 5 municipalities. It's those that are not the big metros, but those that are on the next kind of stage, the type B units which are growing and whichever grades of demand for electricity, so like Bombela, KSD, Rustenburg and Polokwane. So those are the municipalities which we target. And then what we're doing with those municipalities, we're developing energy efficiency strategies and implementation plans. And then we're also looking at the institutional capacity, what kind of institutional arrangements will support energy efficiency in these municipalities and in SALGA. And then knowledge sharing related to energy efficiency within these 5, but also we work with all the SALGA members if members need our assistance. And then also development of communication structures related to energy efficiency between national and local level. And also one activity I didn't mention there is this target monitoring system which DOE is leading, and SALGA is providing the municipal support for that target monitoring system to measure how we are doing in terms of energy efficiency. Just one slide about or two about our activities so far and what we are doing. So we've commissioned state of energy reports for those 5 municipalities, and the institutional capacity assessments project is ongoing now. The knowledge sharing, there are some activities there. And then also we are working with DOE on the developing this communication structure. And then this year we'll do this institutional capacity assessment, compile the set of energy reports, and then next year we'll do the energy efficiency strategies and action plan. And then also one bullet here, which I mentioned earlier, was this issue about the financial implications of energy efficiency and the knowledge sharing activities. And I think I just highlighted this, as the chairperson mentioned earlier about blackouts and our need to be more efficient. This is still the gap in terms of the supply and the demand going forward. And I think that's all. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ryan. Members, this is now your opportunity. Or are there anything that people want to add to the presentations? DOE?
various state entities regarding energy efficiency. In the Northern Cape, now there's only two seasons. It's either very hot or very cold. And you must use critical factors like the sun and the other factors very, very carefully in terms of doing that. I can take you to Upington, which is sometimes the hottest place in South Africa. But the houses there face completely wrong. Instead of facing north or bit northeast, many of those houses are facing west. It makes it unbearable for the people to stay in. But more than that, it also creates issues in terms of energy efficiency and so on and so forth. Similarly, in the winter. In the winter, you need the northern sun. But in many instances, you know, people don't get the benefit of that. Linked to that, Chairperson, is the building material. You know, people build with bricks and corrugated roofs. But the building materials that were used in the past, many of them are much more efficient in terms of the way that people can say heat inside or keep the houses relatively cool and so on. So I think it's a cross-cutting issue, and I don't know if the department wants to respond to it, but it's a very, very serious issue in terms of dealing with the designs and so on. Chair, then, in terms of Salka's presentation, I just want to raise one issue, and that's the issue about waste management. We hear a lot about the engagements with the various role players, placing bulbs, networks, and so on and so forth. But there's one element that, if you use it right, can be an incredible source of potential energy, but also income. And I didn't pick that up in Salka's presentation. So maybe if they can just respond to that in terms of new technology, what are they doing? I know that there's some engagement with Zanetti, so on these matters and so on. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Sinclair, on the playground.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Yes, our mind goes around the questions of the buildings in the pilot project. I'd like to know when will the project start and how many people will be employed across the provinces. Then also the community development workers, what kind of criteria will be utilized to actually empower them, because we need certain skills. And then how many people would benefit out of this project. I'm happy to note that you will be employing the youth and the unemployed. I'd like to request that you consider the people with a disability too, because I'm sure they'll be able to also benefit from this. Then on the solar heating, very interesting, we've debated this many a time, where it would be very good if everybody could install a solar heater in their houses. Maybe it should be more accessible and easy, and the rebates and things like that. And if everybody could be benefiting through their municipal loans by paying back in that way. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me take this opportunity and welcome the presentation from the department and the honorable member there on the question of skills development, but I want to make some additions. I just want to know which procedure they're going to follow as they will be selecting those who will be undergoing training and employing the unemployed youth and women. Another question to the Department of Energy. Under the recommendations, portfolio committees noted that in implementing the activities, there are limited financial and human resources. So I want to know if ever they have plans to make sure that overcome this problem. Thank you,
Chairperson. Honourable Khari, Honourable
Parlinger. Thank you, Chairperson. This National Energy Efficiency Strategy has come along from 2005, 2008, we're now 2012, which is 7 years later. And it's really been a very slow process. It almost looks like the plan is beginning to come together, and what worries me is that 4.5 $1.5 billion has been spent on projects by the IDTT, and it's only in 3 provinces. What about the other provinces? When are we getting to the other provinces? When it comes to municipalities and energy saving, is there a project or is there a system that brings about the savings versus the theft? Is there a way that you can cut that out? Street lighting, I'd like to know if there's a specific regulation stopping ordinary bulbs in the street light, and what the cost implications are. Then the city of Johannesburg and wastewater treatment facilities, it's exciting. Every single municipality has got wastewater, certainly. And it is a problem because those wastewater treatment plants don't work properly. The minute you smell them, you know they're not working. But are we converting that into something and using it effectively? Then they talk about various metros in the Salva plan, but I'm not quite sure that if London is a metro, I think it must come off the list of metros and be added to the larger towns like Kimberley. Because I know the councillors are not paid the full price, full salary or package of a metro. Then the capacity assessment and pilot municipalities. Is this going to be a long process, or when will this be implemented in the other municipalities? Because this is actually on ground level where we lose a lot of energy. And it's amazing that the work is done higher up, but we need to make sure that it is done on the consumption level. The financial implications to implement energy efficiency in municipalities concerns me, because the municipalities must spend, according to a question that we recently asked the Department of Energy and I think NASA, they said 6% of their sales must be spent on infrastructure maintenance. I'm not so sure that this is being done, because energy is being subsidizing other services, and it shouldn't be like that. Is there not a way in which we can work it or plan it or incentivize it that we can change that attitude of energy subsidizing other services, like wastewater treatment facilities should be adding to the value of energy rather than the other way around? Chairperson, that's enough for the time being. Thank you.
Okay, Honorable Gamede.
Thanks. I guess I was seated this slide and the chair didn't notice me. I'm thinking a few weeks ago the sharks played the Stormers. So the chair was not recognizing me. Always cheats for life. On DOE chair, this thing was identified. It has been said, more especially on awareness, it was recognized that it was insufficient. Now, as we see today, what is the position? Also on monitoring system, as we see today, what is the position? Because I haven't heard of any awareness campaign, you know, serious awareness campaign. But then they might not be going to KwaZulu-Natal and KwaZulu-Natal, to be specific. That's why I don't hear them. On efficiency, I want to pose a question to all the presenters. Shouldn't be this part of the KPIs? How would you feel that some senior people, the CEOs, because we're facing a challenge of energy, shouldn't we include these as part of the KPIs? And as we speak today, what financial resources do you have for implementation for the task team that has been set up? You know, we're good in setting up task teams, and we don't have resources. You think that each department will just serve and serve, only to find that it becomes. Is it in the plan? Public Works, with all the savings as it has been presented from 1997, kilowatts we saved and put them into our pockets, and even money that is, but we still have challenges. What could be this? What could be the driving force behind these challenges with all these savings? You know? So the situation could have been worse if we didn't have this saving. And I was a bit surprised when mentioned towns or cities that consume a lot of electricity. And I thought you really mentioned the towns, but you mentioned Mthatha, PE, Kimberley, and Nelspruit. And I mentioned poor provinces that consume high electricity. What do they do with this electricity? How does it assist communities? I just need some meat on this bone. More especially Mthatha. IDT. On page 7, there's one interesting thing that was said, that when you procure, you stress only one thing, a reliable local company. What would you term a reliable local company? You know, I can give it many names. If it is reliable, it will be owned by Honorable Nyambi. Owned by Honorable Sinclair, is reliable. What would you term a reliable local company? So I'll on a lighter note, you know, Councillor Nidley, I hope communities are not being compromised by energy efficiency, because our communities need electricity. I hope when you stand and speak to them, you don't say, hey, we are saving energy. Just wait and be to look at it later. A few years ago, there was a program by DOE and municipalities on solar street lights. I don't know what happened to the program. I'm sure they can call me. I think it was 6 or 7 years ago, it started with a bang. Now it has just died its natural death. Also on SALCA, how do municipalities pay back the loans from DPSA? Where would they recover, get this money from? As you mentioned, that you fund your things by applying for loans. Now, to everybody, I would like a comment to all the presenters about biomass and about the recycling. It has been mentioned, like, about joint effect. But biomass, especially from other provinces like KwaZulu-Natal, Mpumalanga, and then the rest, and also recycling in the form of saving energy. Thanks, sir.
Thank you, Honorable Kamara. Honorable Nyambi.
Thanks, Chairperson. Part of my questions have correctly been covered by Honorable Kamet, but I have only one. If you check all the presenters, it's clear that it's only Public Works and Energy that are very detailed about the challenges, with an exception of SALCA, because if you check in terms of the constitution and of what happened last week, they are part of us, so they have that opportunity to deal with us, dealing with the challenges moving forward. But commending the presentation and this forum chair, I want to pose a question to the DGI, because it's for the first time for us to have DGI issues. Can't they maybe use this opportunity to take it further and
ITT. I'm saying, can't they maybe, I know that the TTI is part of the department that are accounting to you, Chair. Can they maybe take it further in this presentation and add some of the challenges that will assist us as members of parliament so that we can assist them where there are some serious bottlenecks so that we can assist them, not only assist them, but being empowered as public representatives to be able to do effective, efficient oversight, because I don't think that has been quite captured correctly, except they still can't break around and what they've done, but I don't see the challenges coming out that can really assist both of us. Thanks, Chair.
Hand over to the presenters. Who's going to follow? Who's going to deal in? Will you take the lead? And as we have presented, as you have presented, we get in that follow, in that answer, in that follow, in that last 4 words now, in that sequence. Thanks, honourable member. I think on the first question, which talk about new developments, integration of energy efficiency measures, design, although it also talks to human settlement, but as we indicated in our presentation, that there's already a regulation, a public building regulation in terms of new buildings that incorporate energy efficiency measures. One of the things that we're working now together with the national regulator for compulsory certification, which reports to DTI, to ensure that some of these regulations are monitored in terms of enforcement. Because it won't be good for us now if we are developing or constructing new developments which are not talking to that particular regulation. So the first thing that we're going to do, as I highlighted, is to have a discussion with the national regulator for compulsory certification in terms of how do we enforce some of these particular regulations. But at the same time, together with the state agency for development and cooperation, we've conducted some training or capacity building for all the construction professionals and inspectors in this case, to ensure that as the colleagues from Talca indicated within the doctors of Johannesburg, they have a very clear criteria in terms of passing or inspecting some of the new regulations. So hopefully once we have this, come up with a new enforcement regime in terms of how to enforce the current, what the regulations are there in terms of the building regulations on energy efficiency, just to actually make it a point that they are compulsory. But however, noting that there are some challenges, we're also, as I indicated, supported by the International Energy Agency, currently doing what we call the profiling of the policies, reflecting what are the gaps in terms of the current regulations, talking to the financial incentives, whereby municipalities can be supported or developers, or if there are gaps in terms of the recently promulgated energy efficiency building regulations. So in terms of that one, I hope that we're going to maybe come up with some interventions in terms of how to go about ensuring that there is real enforcement and then there is no bypass of the current regulations. In terms of the pilot projects for the public building program, I indicated that we targeted some sort of interventions of 1,000 buildings or less in terms of that. But however, one of the immediate interventions for us is to ensure that within the public building sector, there is enough training and capacity building of what we call energy management plans or systems for the current existing facility manager. It will be in the form of an upgrade. But also, some of the program initiated by Department of Environmental Affairs towards COP17 was to train roughly around about 30 unemployed youth on energy auditing. We call it the Build Energy Auditing Program, which are currently now temporarily based at the program. So one of the plans was in our pilot is to take these people, what we call them energy scouts, to assist us in terms of the door-to-door visits or physical audits of this particular building. So basically, it will be focusing on those. But at the same time, the current process of how to recruit and ensure that we utilize people with disabilities, women and youth, we'll actually consider in terms of our recruitment criteria. And then in terms of the solar water heating program, there was a question around accessibility and the rebate program.
issue, what we call a media release, in terms of this accessibility, to inform people how they can actually access. But one of the critical elements for us, together with ESCOM and public enterprise, is to come up with a real solar water heating monitoring system, so that you can actually have a sort of a desktop or a database together with the South African National Energy Development System, so that you can see where are the installations, who is installing in your area, where are the current installations, how can you access either the rebate program or the incentives that are coming up with CTI or through IDC, that kind of a thing. So the accessibility is going to be clear now, so that we'll actually come up with this sort of a dashboard. You can click in each area or element of this dashboard to check where, who can you actually get, what is the process of the rebate process, and also who can assist you in terms of the installation. And then in my slide, I also indicated some constraints or challenges when we deal with the implementation of this public building program. One of the tasks that were given around, I refer to financial resources or human resources constraint. One of the tasks that was given to us by the two ministries of Public Works and Department of Energy was to ensure that we develop an action plan. I think some of this question keeps on coming. I think when we go and present to our ministers in terms of reporting back, in terms of the task team, is to ask the same question, to give them the same answers. The action plan, how many jobs is it going to be created? How long is it going to take? What are the financial and human resources that we're actually be looking for? So the task for us was to develop better pilots to get a sense in terms of a national energy consumption database. Where are the buildings? Taking stock in terms of what was presented initially, that yes, we've done some savings, we've retrofitted, but we need to look at the entire building profile to say this is where we are. Unfortunately, the challenge for us is to actually first get this database. And as I indicated, for this pilot project, is to utilize the current programs and the existing human resources using the PPS ESCOM, using the South African German Energy Program, using the Swiss Agency for Development and the Danish Energy Management Program and other programs. So in terms of financial mechanism, I think within the pilot, we're fairly clear in terms of the process. But one of the expected outcomes for us is to come up with a clear, I can call it a roadmap check, to say, yes, in terms of the action plan, taking all our energy consumption towards a more efficient production, this is the required resources that we're actually looking for. We've been given a task and a mandate to produce that particular report maybe within the end of the next, of this current financial year, and so that we can actually plan for the financial implication of the next financial year. I take note of the NIST 2005 and 2012 report. One of the things that we did in 2008, or the complaints or the concerns that were raised, was how far have we achieved the 12% target that we set for ourselves since 2005 for 2012. Hence, the 2008 review process couldn't actually give us the desired results. We had to go back to the drawing board. We came up with another review, the one that I indicated started last year, of which we're going to submit that particular report. We've committed that review to cabinet to say, based on what we have done, these are the elements that we're actually lacking in terms of us quantifying the energy savings. But however, the most critical element that was missing since 2005 was the monitoring, measurement, and verification process. And I indicated that out of that particular outline already, we have now an energy management system standard developed. We also have a protocol for measuring and verification process. So, and secondly for us, we are developing what we call an energy efficiency target monitoring. Is to do exactly that. Is to say, now we have a standard for energy management plan. Anybody want to complain, they can submit their own energy management plan. But everybody must actually measure and verify their savings. So the energy efficiency target monitoring will actually give us the numbers. Unfortunately, in the review, we couldn't actually just look in terms of what we're getting as a report. Is to do a quite a detailed program of critical importance again. Is how do you measure and verify what is the definition of energy efficiency in a particular sector. So that's what we're going to achieve. But in the review that we just completed, it was talking about those systems or processes in order for us, before the end of this financial year, to come up with what we call an energy efficiency target monitoring system. You'll see in our annual performance plan of the Department of Energy, we've set ourselves a target of 5 terawatt hour for this current financial year. last year we set ourselves 1.4 terawatt hour, one terawatt hour, of which we have achieved of the data that we collected, 1.4 terawatt hour. So accumulatively, this year we are targeting ourselves to come up with 1.5 terawatt hour. And then lastly, Chair, or the other aspect that was raised is around awareness and those kind of things. I should indicate that although you will see them as parallel to each other or not talking to each other, there's quite a lot, Chair, that is happening. For example, ESCOM is running a 9 million campaign led by the Department of Public Enterprise. Municipalities are running their own campaigns in terms of the grants that we're giving them under the energy efficiency demand side management. However, we note that the coordination aspect of all these particular interventions is actually quite lacking. Hence, in 2011, COP17, the Minister of Energy came up with the National Energy Efficiency Campaign so that we can actually start coordinating with the President of Sanesi and others. So Sanesi now is currently developing what we call a monitoring system so that we map and we have a database of the policies, a database of the intervention, a database, a one-stop shop of where can you actually get financial incentives and all those things. I think for me that's one of the KPI within the Department of Energy. Energy efficiency is a critical milestone in terms of the key performance area of our DG, and the Minister is already covered in terms of that aspect. And I think one of the questions that was raised last year is around a challenge. I indicated that for us, one of the major challenges was the coordination. But now, in the current financial year, we're tasked to come up with a coordinating system supported by the South African National Energy Development Institute in this case, so that we can actually be able to quantify how far are we achieved. This year, as I indicated, we must put on the ticket at least 5 terawatt hours, having measured and verified. Thanks, from my side.
Public Works.
Thank you, Chairperson, Honourable Members. The question raised by the Honourable Member relevant to retrofitting Parliament and other prestige buildings, you can indicate that we have retrofitted the Union buildings and the President's residence in Cape Town. Parliament is on our programme, as I know it, and I know that either initiated or will be retrofitting, will be initiated shortly. We will verify and confirm that, Chair. I do know it's on the program. In terms of the housing and the development thereof, this forms mainly within, although we build houses within complexes for government officials, and new houses will conform to the requirements. So old houses definitely don't, but they are subject to retrofitting in terms of lighting, etc. But I think that the issue raised is mainly under the ambit of human settlements in terms of the manner in which they design houses for the people, for the public, etc. I am on the task team for human settlements, and I will definitely raise the concern, Honourable Member, with human settlements that they do embody, the design elements relevant to energy saving into their plans. I will take that up at the next technical meeting. I think in terms of our challenges, yes, they are immense because of the vast portfolio we confronted with. We have over 100,000 facilities, and they spread across the various provinces, obviously. But what we look at is where, the majority of our state buildings are constituted. And we look at also the highest consuming buildings. And you find that it is true what the Honourable Member mentioned, that we have neglected, for example, Mthatha and Nelspruit. But in this particular area, the portfolio of state buildings, due to the historic past that we come from, is not that vast. There's not many. But what and Nelspruit as well. Nelspruit is mainly a leased portfolio, and Kimberley has a few state-owned buildings.
But what we can say is that we're looking at this holistically. For example, Umtata and Nelspruit, they're subject to currently on our program of precinct development. If those developments do materialize, then obviously the new construction and the new buildings will be subject to the energy-saving measures that we mentioned. But we do take note of that as a biasness towards the bigger regions, and we will definitely address that. The other issue is relevant to recycling. I know, and then we can provide the EPWP in our department can provide more details, but the social sector within our EPWP looks at recycling quite intensively, and they use the co-ops, et cetera, in this regard. But we can also provide more details from this particular component. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Members. Start with just to correct the Honourable Member on the 4.5 billion rand, that it was not necessarily targeting the EEP, but it is rather all our program, which comes from different departments. The Department of Education is our biggest client at the moment, the Department of Health, and then the others. And out of that, only 127 million was targeted at the energy efficiency program. All our programs are in all the provinces, so we cover all the provinces in that portfolio that I had indicated, Honourable Member. The second one is the efficiencies. To say, shouldn't we include that as KPA, Honourable Member? I fully agree. Fortunately for us, as a development organization, we are actually measured on the basis of impact. So it's already in our KPA, both organizationally and as well as individual performance. So the minister, when we report to the minister, we move from the outputs into outcomes. What is the difference and the impact that our interventions had made? Hence, in our report, we were a bit more detailed in terms of what is the impact that has come out of those interventions. So we already do it, Honourable Member. The last one, which is quite difficult, what do we refer to with a reliable local company? What does it really mean? Firstly, you say that it's the capacity to meet the demand. But what we do is that we explore the local areas where we are implementing to make sure that we don't exclude the local businesses in that area. So we give first preference to those locals, because that's how our KPAs are being measured from an impact point of view. Only after we have realized that we don't have those capacities to meet the demand for the service delivery that we allow importation of outside material. And the last one was the challenges. I think on page 7 of our presentation, we did outline some of the challenges. But I must say that I think for us, the success of our program has been because of the cooperation, both from the Department of Public Works and the Department of Energy. And most of the problems that we had, we were able to resolve together. So we've outlined some of the problems, and we're optimistic that as we get into the second round of rollout, we'd have learned from that and probably plan it differently. For instance, the non-existence of as-built plans. So we will make sure that as we plan, we will get those plans so that we don't delay the interventions by getting the service providers to start from that level, but rather to get it ready. And that has been communicated to the Department of Public Works in particular, that we have been implementing on behalf of. Chair, I think I've covered all the relevant questions. Thank you.
Honourable Chair, I'll ask Linda to answer most of the questions, and then afterwards, if you allow me, I'll make a couple of comments. Thank you.
Chair and members for the question. I wanted to start on the one about loans and how municipalities pay these back. I think the large municipalities, many of them do take out loans to fund some of their projects, but specifically on energy efficiency, they would actually pay back the loans with savings from electricity. So if they implement a project in buildings, they could actually pay back the loan from the savings from electricity in that building. And then there was a question about the capacity assessment. That specifically relates to looking at the institutional arrangements in the municipalities and which kind of institutional arrangement will promote energy efficiency. That specifically is looking at the institutional arrangements in the municipalities that are part of the STC program and SALCA, and how do they need to be structured to promote energy efficiency. So perhaps in the municipal manager's office, there must be somebody looking at energy efficiency across the municipality as an output, or they could promote. So perhaps after the study is done, there's a recommendation to council that the organogram of electricity department must change in such a way so that could be an outcome from that. The question about street lighting and is there a regulation that states that municipalities cannot use inefficient street lighting. I don't think there's such a regulation. And for now, the municipalities just procure what is cheapest. But as I think they are becoming aware of energy efficiency, they are taking energy efficiency into account when they procure their street lighting. And the funding which they get from National Treasury and DOE through DOE is assisting them and capacitating them in terms of selecting the best, more efficient street lighting. And then the issue about theft of electricity, that is a different program which SALCA is also involved with. But it's more, I think there are different drivers and different ways of dealing with it. There's the operation and NISA that SALCA and ESCOM is involved with and the municipalities, but that's quite separate to the energy efficiency program that SALCA is involved with. I think the others have been covered by the other presenters.
Honourable Chair, thank you very much. Yes, the Honourable Member for Eastern Cape has mentioned the fact that this has been taking quite a substantial time. And I agree with her. I think we should expedite this matter because really we need to save electricity. A little point of concern to me is on page 4 of the Public Works submission, and that is that they've told us that they've did some savings, and I went to look at the figures, and it does concern me that these figures tend to vary in quite a way, in the sense that in Cape Town we did a saving of 16 cents per kilowatt hour, whilst the savings at Johannesburg and Bloemfontein was about 40 cents plus. That concerned me that those figures doesn't tally to me. So if in the future they just look at those type of figures and tell us exactly what they mean by that. Another point of concern to me is the fact is that Department of Energy and Finance has provided local authorities with a grant for energy saving. And then a couple of months afterward, after all these monies were spent, just almost spent, on energy saving projects, the grants are suddenly withdrawn. I think this is unfair towards local authorities, and they actually rely on these grants to do this type of projects. Lastly, I think another point is I would like to make, and that we should look in the future, is the fact of universities. I'm also involved as a counselor for the Nelson Mandela Metropolitan University, and at George especially, our new accommodations that we're looking at would absolutely be green energy, and I think this is the type of process that we could pass over onto the universities that will do these type of investigations for us by students, and that can normally be free of charge. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Have I left anyone out? Honourable members, has questions been answered? parting shots before I close from the leaders of the delegation. We've heard the cry of IDT, and I think we are doing a good job. And I think, you know, we that is here in Parliament has got the oversight role. Over the executive, we need to work together, because together we can, as the ruling party slogan, together we can do more. And working together, we can only do more and better South Africa. I think working together, we can only save for the country. We can only alleviate poverty if we work together. We can only create jobs if we work together. And I think if there's any shortcomings in that, please feel free to call us. Don't be shy to call upon our number. If Public Works is not compliant, just we'll call them here. Call us, talk to us. We've got various other departments, which is economic development in the new growth path. We are specifically talking about these issues. Energy saving, energy efficiency, and all that. And I think we are on the right track. South Africa are on the right track. We are trying our utmost best. Maybe not on the fast pace as we would like to be, or as people would perceive us to be on that fast track, but I think we are doing our utmost best to get to a level where we can satisfy everybody. It is it's a difficult task to satisfy everybody. It's a difficult task to please everybody, but I think we are definitely on that path. Councillor Nietlang from Salgaside, Madam Linda, anything from your side? Nothing. Sure.
All right. Honourable Chair, I think the only other thing is that we expedite this whole matter and really go for it.
Yeah, we have to. I nearly said DDG Director. Anything from your side? You're fine. Good. IDG?
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Colleagues in IDT, they follow the procedure. If the CEO or the boss talks, then the other don't talk afterwards. All right, wonderful. Public Works.
Thank you, Chair. No, we covered it, just to say thank you for the opportunity.
Saneri.
Thank you, Chair and Honourable Members, for taking this lead in trying to bring this all together. The one thing I would like to just mention and urge to the policymakers, public facilities in South Africa, there's over 100,000 facilities. Public Works is the biggest landlord in the country. We're not going to make all those facilities energy efficient overnight. It's a long-term process. It's going to take a lot of planning. It's a lot of prioritisation from big to small, from well-occupied to less-occupied. But we need to start with the smaller things. Sometimes the sum of the small makes up the whole. Simple things like the procurement of products and services for public facilities. We can bring in very simple things like a procurement policy to only procure energy-efficient lights, as the Honourable Member mentioned, for streetlights. I had to use the bathroom here now, and I saw above the wash basins three different lamps, all just above the mirrors. So the products are bought as and when needed. If there was a simple guideline that you buy a 15-watt compact fluorescent lamp as opposed to a 100-watt incandescent lamp, very simple, it's one paragraph, and the procurement people get that, we will make a huge impact just on the lighting. Similarly with the solar water heaters. Our neighbours in Botswana, there's a policy in Botswana that every new government facility that is built will not use electricity to heat water. So you can use a variety of heat pumps, solar water. There's an option. You're not restricted. Something like that, very simple to do, one-page procurement policy. I think that way we're probably going to achieve a lot more in the short term than we are by doing these mega projects, which become very complicated, very difficult. But thank you very much for the opportunity.
We take note of that. But I think as Saneri is part of Energy Department, I think Saneri has just been formed terms of assisting the Department of Energy. We as a committee will also have to engage with Saneri one of these days, because there's quite some issues that we need to get clarity from Saneri. So I see that you have moved to shift closer to the mic. I see you're touching the mic. Is that an indication you want to say something?
Yes, Chair. I'm Kaya from the Economic Development Department. I was anticipating the fact that you were going to ask us for any comments, and so I moved the mic forward. What I wanted to say is our views are similar to those that Saneri has already expressed. Further than that, we wanted to say that as Economic Development Department, we'd like to see a bit more coordination between the various government bodies and institutions and working together. Because it's our experience, and I see also my colleague from IDT is also nodding, it's our experience that all of us in government are trying to do the right thing. We all have programs and projects ongoing in order to try and be more energy efficient. But we're not really talking as much as perhaps we should be. Because if we talk, then the net result would be much greater than if we do things in silos and individually. So the Economic Development Department, as Chair has already noted, in pushing forward the new growth part, we'd like to work closer with some of our colleagues here. We're familiar with all of our colleagues, but a bit more coordination. So that's one thing we'd like to just put out there. Thank you.
Wonderful. But that is part of the problem, because departments are not talking to one another. And through that, what they say in Afrikaans, there's very pap, tussen die poort en die lepelvat. Of as the Honourable Van Lingen would say, there's often a slip between the cup and the lip. Is that right, Honourable Van Lingen? Okay. And because of that coordination factor, and I thought that's why we've called most of the departments, but we have made some errors of not inviting ESCOM and some of the other departments, public enterprises as well, But I think it should not be an engagement that will stop here. Let's look at 6 months down the line from today. We get back again with those other departments that we have omitted, because as we know that in terms of energy development and the coordination of energy as well and the financing of the energy as well, that EDD and DOE has also signed agreements on that. With the IDC in terms of financing, those type of things. So we should talk on a regular basis with one another. We should do that. Ladies and gentlemen, do you want to say something?
No, just one more thing. I wanted to welcome the initiative by the DOE in terms of mapping out the different programs underway and the different finance mechanisms available to everybody, including municipalities and so on. I think an initiative like that is definitely a step in the right direction. Because although we're all trying to do the right thing, there's still a little bit of confusion. People are not always sure where to go exactly, what exactly to do. So we're working much closer with the DOE, particularly on that initiative over there. Because once people are aware of what exactly can happen, what is possible, what they should do, there's a central place for them to access that kind of information, and it makes it easy for everybody to become more energy efficient. Thank you.
Also, we want to end. I see some of the members are quite in a hurry. But also, I think coupled with that, we need to make all departments, there's a responsibility on all departments as well as Parliament, to create a public awareness. Because it's senseless, we just looked at the buildings, but also the workers that work in that buildings. The people that they probably, some of you are spending, 9 hours a day up until 11 hours a day in your offices. Honorable Maine, is that right? Spending so much time in your offices. But to see, because we've got this tendency right there, as the gentleman from Saneri said, that I leave, I don't switch off the lights behind me.
and we need to sensitize and conscientize people about that, to say that, look, if we want to stay in darkness, do what you want to do. But if you want to help, you want to help and create an environment where we can save energy so that we don't have to stay in darkness, then we must drive that public program as well. We should drive that. And I expect that of all departments. But let me take this opportunity in thanking the members. But before I do that, lunch has been provided. There will be some finger lunch outside. So if any one of you leave, the secretary has got your detail. We will write that to your account so that we don't have wasteful expenditure and those type of things. So please enjoy with us lunch. Outside there's no distinction who, everyone is invited to outside. Let me take this opportunity of thanking everybody, Honorable Dikali, and Honorable Abrams, Honorable Van Dingen, Nguni, Sinclair, Honorable Sinclair, and Honorable Nambi, Honorable Maine, Mr. Hanif, Sister Grace, and all of you, ladies and gentlemen, Councillor Nietlin, those that has come from far over the mountain, from the north, we wish you a safe journey back, and we wish you all the best, and please help us to create that platform of energy efficiency and energy saving, and all the best for you and your family. Have a safe trip back home, and continue with the good work. Before we leave, members, can the members just for 2 minutes stay behind, please? Just 2 minutes. Lunch is outside, and enjoy it. Members, the secretary will now distribute to you the program. We just need to adopt the program, please. Can we get your attention, please? This is the program that we've got in front of us. I'm putting the program for adoption. Are those okay?
Yes, Chair, I propose the program.
It's a proposal for adoption of the program, seconded by? Honourable Abrams and Fikhar. Honourable members, with that...
There's only one cover, Chair. There's no... Our oversight, our international oversight is not on the program.
This is a third-term program. We'll still deal with that.
When is that?
What international oversight? From the committee. From the committee. We'll deal with that in the next term. This is the third term program, or the current term that we are in now. Honourable members, with that, this meeting stands adjourned. Thank you very much. Honourable Sinclair. Thank you very much. This meeting is adjourned.
Honourable Clara says that she's not very happy. That you don't welcome us in the same instance.
withdraw. Thank you.
Are you talking about the way I've welcomed my email?
Yeah. No, 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 no.